Hi, my name is Nicholas Angustia, and I'm here to talk about rare disease in relation to poverty. Throughout the world, the poorest stand by far the greatest chances of contracting treatable diseases and of dying from them. Martha Nussbaum wrote about 10 capabilities. Each capability is a specific way that someone can experience poverty. Dr. Paul Farmer focused on the capability of health in Haiti, providing HIV vaccines in places where people did not know AIDS had a cure. He understood that health is not treated as a basic human right where everyone can take care of themselves equally. Most American citizens file for bankruptcy because of health care costs. This leads to more than just poverty. I'll explain this later. People are documented trying to make their own medicine through genome editing. Supporters and participants, known as biohackers, avoid big pharma and order the materials needed to edit their genes, which is much less expensive than receiving clinically tested medicine. The goal of the Shepherd Program is to understand and address the complex causes and consequences of poverty in a dignified way. It is important to understand that people will try to take matters into their own hands, as biohackers do, when they feel that they are economically pushed into a corner. Unfortunately, there are some who are born into that corner. Someone like Nicholas Piazza, who was born with type 1 spinal muscular atrophy, a rare disease. Spinal muscular atrophy, or SMA, represents a group of genetic neuromuscular disorders that cause certain muscles to become weak and waste away. Type 1 SMA is considered severe SMA, otherwise known as Wernicke-Hoffmann disease. Found in infants, Wernicke-Hoffmann disease limits head control and decreases muscle tone. These infants have difficulty swallowing and breathing. Without breathing support, these infants typically die before their second birthday. Fortunately, Mr. Piazza lived past his second birthday, but is bedridden and independently incapable. He frequently needs his caretaker to stick a plastic suction tube in his mouth to take out excess food since he cannot swallow properly and could choke to death. Nicholas Piazza's story, featured in the Netflix documentary Unnatural Selection, is not widespread enough. Rare diseases in general are ironically rarely known by most physicians around the world. For example, AATD, alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency, stems from a pair of the SERPINA1 gene. This gene helps make proteins alpha-1 antitrypsin to protect the lungs from diseases. Because this is a deficiency, this disease makes the lungs more sensitive to potential disease. Some of these bacterial monsters learn to hurt the human body more innovatively by building up in one's liver. A patient will not be able to breathe properly, with the potential liver scarring from the trapped AAT. 1 in 3,500 people have AATD in the US. Of those who have the deficiency, less than 10% of Americans are clinically recognized. In other words, 100,000 US adults with severe deficiency of alpha-1 antitrypsin, less than 10,000 have been recognized. American physicians do not know enough about this deficiency to comfortably diagnose it. In one study, 43% of patients with AATD reported seeing at least three physicians before initial diagnosis, and 12% reported seeing between 6 and 10 physicians. It is as if those with rare disease are forgotten and not prioritized. These people are born into a losing corner, and it is understandable for some to give up fighting for their lives. Some might not even start because of their seemingly hopeless reality and mindset. They are born to die. Fictional authors love this context. A helpless civilian is established so the star can save the day. Nicholas Piazza's family saw a light in the sky when the pharmaceutical company Spark developed Spinraza, the treatment that strikes down the horrible SMA. December 23, 2016, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved Spinraza, the first approved drug to treat children and adults with spinal muscular atrophy. The Piazzas are amazed as they watch children who receive this cure stand up on their own. Finally, Nicholas Piazza has a shining light to rely on. The cost? Merely $625,000 to $7,500 to cover the 5 or 6 doses needed in the first year, and about $375,000 annually after that to cover the necessary doses a year. 3 a year. Patients would presumably take Spinraza for the rest of their lives. Previously, I mentioned how rare disease orchestrates a born-to-die mindset. Spinraza provided a glimpse of light, but its cost donned a new mindset, a living curse. Let's say Piazza gets Spinraza. His bodily health would skyrocket, which may make him more able for capabilities like control over one's environment, affiliation, or new quality friendships in play. However, is it worth it? If Nicholas Piazza's family buys this drug, they have no money to afford necessities like a fridge, and Piazza knows this. He understands that Spinraza would come at the cost of everything. I do not know anyone who would not feel guilty, knowing that their needs became his or her family's driving force towards poverty. Yes, Piazza can live to see another day, but now his entire family is helplessly homeless. Big Pharma's paywall also affects most of the United States. So, a group of biohackers responded. Biohackers are people who find themselves in a deadly corner and create scientific tools and/or serums to cure themselves at low cost, thereby avoiding Big Pharma's expensive ailments. One can characterize them as people who create DIY medicine and/or technology to heal or improve themselves in a specific way. Josiah Joe Zahner is one of them. Former NASA scientist Dr. Zahner was motivated by the idea of CRISPR, a gene editing tool. However, Dr. Zahner wanted to make it attainable for the average citizen. He led conferences and workshops, and is widely known for one specific workshop. He injected himself with a serum he made that supports muscle growth by editing his genes. People pulled out their phones recording Dr. Zahner and watching with the fear that he would die in a couple of seconds. Dr. Zahner did not die and went on to start the Odin, where they make kits and tools that allow anyone to make unique and usable organisms at home, or in a lab, or anywhere. Dr. Zahner started distributing these products to people like David Ishii, a dog breeder who uses these products to remove genetic diseases in his dogs. Dr. Zahner had a huge influence in the biohacking community. People grew confident that their DIY solutions could be successful and conducted self-experimentations. Former CEO of Ascendant, Aaron Trawick, did the same thing. At another conference in February 2018, Trawick dropped Tro on stage and injected into his bare left thigh an experimental herpes treatment developed by his company. He was found dead the following Sunday. Dr. Zahner's response? Immediate regret. There is no doubt in my mind that someone is going to end up hurt eventually, is what he said. Biohacking is a desperate solution that a lot of people hoped would work. However, it is insanely dangerous and unethical. It puts the biohacker's life at risk, and in turn, the impressionable, poor, or suffering who need a fix urgently. Everyone is capable of great things, but is not equipped with the knowledge necessary to achieve things like a DIY herpes treatment. Dr. Zahner was a NASA scientist. He made sure that whatever he injected with himself was safe. That is why he is not dead. Biohackers are people who do not trust our government enough to address the price of medicine, and this is their response. In other words, there are people who want to help people. Professors Dr. Anna Greta and Dr. Sarah Kim are the same, but they responded differently. Dr. Anna Greta, a Harvard Associate Professor of Medicine, and her research team endeavored to understand the MUC1 gene's deadly mutation. The MUC1 is a transmembrane structural protein, which means it serves as a physical barrier in normal cells. The problem lies in potential mutations in MUC1. Once they mutate, cargo receptors carry them, but cannot dump them out. So, the cells have no choice but to die, ultimately resulting in kidney failure and early death. After what the professor calls molecular sleuthing or hypothesis-driven research, a treatment was uncovered. We learned that this drug-like compound can clear heaps of mangled proteins, by steering the cargo trucks, the ones full of nasty trash, into the lysosome, the cell's trash disposal and recycling facility, where proteins get shredded into pieces. These results were amazing. After giving the drug to mice with kidney disease for 1 week, the mutant protein had all but disappeared from these kidneys. Dr. Greta is a great scientist, and so is Dr. Sarah Kim. Dr. Kim, an associate professor of chemistry and biochemistry at Washington and Lee University, is pursuing nanomedicine to fight against pediatric brain cancer. Her strategy is drug repositioning, which involves medicine for other diseases repurposed and used for rare diseases. This supports faster development times and reduced risk, as seen in thalidomide. Thalidomide, previously known to severe skeletal birth defects in at least 15,000 children, became the primary drug against erythema nodosum leprosum, or ENL. ENL is a condition of leprosy characterized by large, persistent, painful boils and inflammation so severe it leads to blindness. The World Health Organization used thalidomide to treat ENL, and 99% of patients enjoyed a complete remission in less than 2 weeks. Drug repositioning works so well because we are building knowledge on an established foundation of what the drug does. Dr. Kim is repurposing medicine to create safer therapeutics through nanoparticles that attack brain tumors in different ways. She taught me 3 tactics, all of which are done through the use of lipids, organic compounds in our body. Tactic 1, cloaking. This lipid infused with medicine is covered in the substance that makes it undetectable by our immune system. It needs to go undetected because our immune system assumes that this new arrival is a threat. The cloak lasts long enough for the nanoparticle to reach the tumor and treat it. Tactic 2, uncovering. Cancer is tricky. It is a nonstop cell replication of abnormal cells already inhabiting our body. Our immune system should be able to counteract it, but it already recognizes these cells as a good thing since they usually live in harmony and does not enact its natural defenses. Tactic 2, infuses a lipid with a fluid that serves similar to a tracking device. The compound then reaches the tumor and guides the immune system's vision towards it. Eventually, the lipid releases the fluid and the immune system realizes that the cancer cells are an enemy and finally enacts its defenses. Tactic 3, the missile. This tactic is the simplest. The lipid is infused with a cocktail of medicine and tracks down the tumor. It explodes once it reaches the tumor, attacking it with multiple antibodies at once. Dr. Greta and Dr. Kim are pioneers in recognizing that people with rare disease must be healed. Their approach is ethical. It builds upon an active conversation among scholars whose goal is to give back to the community. I understand why Josiah, Zayner, and other biohackers respond to Big Pharma in the way they do. But so did Aaron Treylich. Therefore, Dr. Greta's and Dr. Kim's hardest question would be cost. I want to answer that for them and confirm that the results would be affordable, but I can't. The question of cost has been a long-standing question that future generations need to answer soon. Paul Farmer already answered it. The Shepherd Program adequately focuses on the consequences of poverty, but needs to emphasize the varied consequences. It is not just the poor who become poorer and then have bad mental health. Human beings always try to get past barriers by moving around, bulldozing through, climbing over, or digging under. Our response to adversities in front of us and others is a consequence of poverty. People like Josiah Zayner, who is past the barrier but sees that it still exists for other people and wants to help. Biohackers' intentions are good, but their methods cannot be trusted. They are proof of how desperate people are to get past the barrier. At the same time, proof of how hard it is to get around poverty. Academic research is also a consequence of poverty. They seek the legal and scientific route to help rare disease patients, but how much does it cost to go down that route? Time is expensive, and many rare diseases still do not have treatment. SMA has a cure, but Nicholas Piazza cannot afford it. Biohacking and research are 2 ways that humans are trying to get past poverty. Simply put, we need to understand the extent of human capabilities and the consequences of their response in order to realize the urgency that is currently required to address poverty. The lens of a rare disease patient is a great place to start.